The Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And we've made $92,000 on the sale of our number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of 2000 CD and vinyl. If you'd like to order it, 877-616-PHIL. It's $20, and it all goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. Hanging on the line in Western Estates right now is Bobby Dooley. She is the president of the Wintertacular Cotillion Cruise and also president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She joins us from her home in Western Estates. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. And you have your Wintertacular Caribbean Cruise. Tell us about that, and I know that you have a very proud announcement to make as part of Southern California Lifestyles, right?
We do, Phil. This is the very first for our Executive Council of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We have been honored with an invitation from Captain Pohl to sit at the captain's table during the captain's dinner on our Wintertacular Caribbean cruise, and that is the SS Morgana, and it will be leaving Miami on March 19th, and we're all very excited. And we are asking all of our Western Estates Homeowners Association Executive Council members to put their best foot forward, and let's get into shape, and let's hit that Lido deck running come March 19th. Because I think we know we're all representing Western Estates.
So this is a quite an honor for you, your executive council of the Homeowners Association, to be sitting with the captain during the captain's dinner, correct?
This is very standard on cruises, Phil, and I don't know how many cruises you've been on.
To be honest with you, not that many. But I know about the captain's dinner.
Well, the captain's dinner is always very special. And to sit at the captain's table on any cruise is a very, very great honor. They will only invite you to their table if you are a representative of good civic commitment, high morality, you are good conversationalists, etc. People who are not invited to the captain's table during the captain's dinner, sometimes that says an awful lot about them. So we really want our Western States Homeowners Association council to put their best foot forward.
And by best foot forward, what do you mean? You're going to be on the cruise. You're going to be sitting at the captain's table for the captain's dinner.
Well, by best foot forward, one of the things, Phil, is that it will be a full buffet. So when you do get up from the table and you go over to the buffet line, you will be seen by everyone on the cruise. You are representing Western Estates. And we really want you to look your best, I think. I don't think there's anything sadder, really, than to see a woman who's 20 or 30 pounds overweight standing at a buffet line on a cruise. So we're not going to let that happen to Western Estates. We won't be the butt of any jokes. And come March 19th, Phil, we're going to hit that Lido deck running.
Okay, can I ask you a question, and I don't want to get into anything too heavy here, but who is Sandy Boucher?
You know what? I didn't know that I would be asked that.
No, I know, but we did get a call from her. We got a call from her attorney.
Phil, I'm really not prepared to talk about that. I think it's a little bit of ambush journalism.
No. Sandy Boucher, in a statement released by her attorney, says that you are supposed to stay 500 yards away from her until the cruise. It's a restraining order. Is that correct?
Phil, we were trying to remind Sandy of her obligations as an executive council member, but as a woman also. And you can't go on the Wintertacular cruise looking like that. And we had our Wintertacular cruise weigh in. She wanted to, because we wanted her to look good for the captain's dinner. Sandy was 170. That's too much. We made it clear. We asked nicely. She still wouldn't get it down to 135, which is appropriate for a woman who is 5'10".
All right, there's a restraining order that was signed by a judge, and it was applied for by Ms. Sandy Boucher against you and the Western Estates Executive Council because of her weight?
Phil,
is that what it's about?
Again, Phil, if I can state what this is about. 2 weeks ago, we stated our intention. We started our intervention outreach phone calls to her, which, yes, did include anonymous calls. Someone would call up and then hang up the phone. We wanted to put a little...
Well, someone called up and oinked, right, and then would hang the phone up?
That is correct, yes.
And that's your intervention outreach phone calls?
You know something, Phil? That is part of it. Masking their voice and reading the dietary content of a Big Mac. We also would stand near the south entrance with signs that read, "Let's go, Sandy. Let's get it down. Let's get the weight down. We're behind you. We wish you could see us."
And okay, so you're calling her home and oinking into the phone and you're hanging up. You have signs that say, "Let's go, we're behind you, Sandy. We wish you could see us." You're masking your voices and reading the dietary content of Big Macs. She was afraid. She got it.
No, she shouldn't have been afraid because she knew who it was. She knew it was...
You're saying she knew it was members of the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
She knew it was members of the Executive Council. We had the weigh-in. She was 170 pounds. We're going to be on the Lido deck of the cruise for much of the cruise. The first day is a shuffleboard tournament. We're going to be at the captain's table. She knew all of this, and yet she refused to take the weight off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry's show here.
Oh, so getting people to call in, Phil.
You don't want to take any calls?
You know something? I just think you're really stirring people up. You need to understand what the...
Well, you got this lady. You're going to be taking a Caribbean cruise in March. You had everybody in your executive council weigh in so you'd look good at the captain's table for the captain's dinner.
To be invited to the captain's table on any cruise is one of the highest honors that you can be afforded. They don't let just run-of-the-mill people sit with the captain. You don't just get invited to the captain's dinner unless you're of high morality, unless you are a person who has self-respect and self-discipline, and yes, that includes getting it down from 170 pounds. Being invited to the captain's dinner, Phil, is like sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom if you go to the White House.
And okay, but I mean, the point is, this lady, Sandy Boucher, didn't get her weight down from 170 to 100 and what was it?
For 5'10", an appropriate weight is 135.
Down to 135.
That is correct.
You had the weigh-in, she didn't get it down, and now you're calling her home and oinking into the phone and hanging up.
She knows who it is, Phil. It is untrue for her attorney to say that this is harassment. We are reminding her of her duty as an executive council member as well as a woman. You can't sit at the captain's table on a cruise looking like that.
And well, don't you find that a little immature?
You know, Phil, I have to weigh up.
I mean, you're calling someone up like a oink, oink, you know, and hanging up the phone, right?
That was done by some members, yes.
Don't you find that a little immature?
You know, I had to weigh the benefits. We really had to remind her of her duty. We had to get her to take a good long look at herself. She's going to be standing at a buffet line. She's going to be getting her food. She's going to be squeezing by tables to get back to the captain's table. Bread plates will be knocked to the floor. Hors d'oeuvre plates will be knocked to the floor because she can't get the fat off.
And you're afraid she's going to embarrass you and other members of the Western Estates Homeowners Association?
No, members of the Executive Council. Because the only people who are going on this, who are sitting at the captain's table, are the executive council members.
Are the other homeowners going?
Yes, everyone's invited. But only the executive council of the Homeowners Association was invited to sit at the captain's table.
Because you're better people?
Not better people. We just have more discipline. We obviously are a little bit more, highly placed in our organization.
Let me tell you something.
Phil, I just want to say at this time we feel justified in ignoring that restraining order because all of us can look ahead to the captain's dinner on the Morgana the weekend of March 19th. Sandy will be in a very inappropriate dress, all 180 pounds of her, knocking people's bread plates to the floor with her large, hind end and generally wrecking the night for the executive council. We can't have that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lauren, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I just thought maybe I misunderstood, but a 5'10" woman, for a 5'10" woman to weigh 135 pounds is just extremely thin.
It is not, according to some of the fashion designers that I've spoken with.
But a fashion designer, that's what I'm talking about. A runway model weighs 5'10". it weighs 135 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's 5'10".
Have you ever been on a cruise?
Yes, I have,
okay,
and I'm also,
you know. Mm-hmm.
And I'm also 5'10".
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much do you
and
weigh?
I wear a size 8, and
okay.
I weigh, you know, a lot more than 135 pounds.
Uh-huh. Well, that's really your business. I don't want to.
Well, I just
I'm
don't
saying,
know who you think you are.
We're going to be sitting at the captain's table during the
I
cruise.
I know. Do you know how many fat professional businessmen that are millionaires mm-hmm. sit at captain's tables?
You know,
people
something,
are not judged by how much they weigh, except for what you
the
think.
The Western Estates Executive Council, we do not have anyone who has an excess of 10% body weight, or body fat, I should say. Now,
but are you a thin organization?
No, we are a homeowners association.
Why does that have to do anything with weight?
Mm-hmm,
I could understand if you're going to judge people by weight if you are in Weight Watchers.
First of all, because...
But you're not
yeah.
a weight...
Yeah.
Organization. I don't understand that.
Yeah. No, it's Lauren, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lauren, really what this is about...
You should just
about,
go on to the next caller because I think you're ridiculous.
No, I'm saying to you that our homeowners association, we have 8,000 square foot homes.
So what?
We do have a lot of nannies and we have a lot of
so
working
what?
Mothers. We don't allow just anyone, and I don't know how to really describe this, but... You probably wouldn't be able to move into where we live.
Ma'am, you don't know anything about me.
You said you were
5'10". You don't know anything about me.
You said you were 5'10", and you weighed a lot more than 135.
Well,
okay,
yeah,
so
15
that...
pounds more than 135, but I also told you that I was a size 8, or most of the time a size 6.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So,
the problem
and
is,
I also...
Lauren, the problem is that we're very proud of who we are, and I know you don't understand that.
Well,
but
obviously,
really
you're not proud of who you are.
You know
you're proud of what
you
look like.
No, you know something? I really don't want someone who looks disgusting sitting with us.
So now we get down to it.
What?
Now we get down.
Well, maybe,
you just
maybe
said
you
your friend, Sandy Boucher.
You know something? I work out, and I'm really in good shape.
And so do I, and that's why muscle weighs more than fat.
You said
and,
you
and
were
I'm 5'10", telling you.
And you said you were overweight.
She
I am
said
not
she was,
overweight.
She said,
I wear a size 6.
She's 5'10", and...
How much do you weigh?
I weigh 143 pounds.
Well,
but,
you know, it
you
just...
Know,
I'm sorry. It just... You know, what do you want me to tell you? You would not be able to sit
all
at the
I'm
captain's
telling
table.
You that is a 5'10".
You're not going
woman.
To sit at the captain's table.
Isn't that a crazy? You should see what I look like.
No, you know something?
I work out every day,
mm-hmm.
and I just...
Yeah.
Not that I would ever want to be your friend or sit at any table that you're sitting at.
You know something? If you saw me, you would want to be my friend because we have our cotillions. We do a lot of sports. We have dances. Okay?
She hung up. She doesn't want to be your friend.
You know, Phil, I don't care. I'm talking about Sandy Boucher. I don't want to sit near someone who is going to put a straw in the cream sauce. I don't want someone who is going to eat the cream cheese with a straw. You know.
All right, hold on. Geez, at what point is a friend a friend? Bobby Dooley from the Western States, the Executive Council of Western States Homeowners Association. Their Executive Council have been invited to sit at the captain's table during their Wintertacular Caribbean cruise. And apparently that means Sandy Boucher, who's also a member of the Executive Council, will not be invited because she is 170 pounds. Bobby is afraid that she is going to embarrass the Executive Council with how fat she is. Now, this the only reason why we mentioned this to Bobby, and I know she's angry at me, but I got a copy of the restraining order that Ms. Boucher's attorney filed. She wants Bobby Dooley specifically to stay 500 yards away from her until the cruise. People have been calling her home and oinking into the phone. People are calling and masking their voices and giving the ingredients of a Big Mac, et cetera, et cetera. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association joins us from Western Estates. This is Southern California Lifestyles. When is your Wintertacular Caribbean cruise?
Phil, our Wintertacular will be on March the 19th.
And is Sandy Boucher going to be allowed on this cruise even though she weighs 170 pounds?
No, she's not. And we really don't appreciate people telling us how to run our organization. And we don't appreciate...
Well, she's got... Are you going to stop calling her house and oinking into the phone?
No, Phil. We don't feel that we have to... we feel we are justified in ignoring that restraining order because we know that she stands a good chance of embarrassing us. And we will not allow that to happen.
Even if it means you're jailed for violating a restraining order, you're not supposed to call her house, you're not supposed to oink into the phone, you're going to do it anyway.
Why is she 170 pounds when she knows that we've been invited to sit at the captain's table?
And you keep hitting this captain's table thing. Is that really that much of a big deal? I've never been on a cruise.
It is the highest honor that you can be accorded when you go on a cruise to sit at the captain's table, to sit with the captain, because the only people who are allowed to sit at the captain's table during the captain's dinner are people of very high standard, very high morality, people who have proved themselves in the area of professionalism, in their private lives, with their politics, a number of things.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, and this lady's fat, and that's why she can't sit there.
That is part of her personal discipline, yes.
Let me go to Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, sir.
You've got one sick woman on the other line there, Phil. I can't even believe where she's coming from. That's just...
You know something? You know, look before you leap.
Ma'am, you're calling somebody immoral? You're calling her immoral and unprofessional
morality
because of her personal weight?
Morality is very important. And if you know the Bible says that gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins.
That's fine, but have you got into her weight problem with her with specialists? You have no idea what you're even coming from.
We have a cruise
to be part of a homeowners association. You need to own the home to be a member of that association. I sell homes for a living. I'm a builder. You cannot discriminate. That's just like race and religion.
No, she lives in the home, but she doesn't have any God-given right to sit at the captain's table during our wintertacular.
Is she a member of your council?
Yes, she is.
So
but
there
was
no
voted in when she,
to join the council in
the
first place?
She was voted in when she was 130 pounds. She suddenly got very lazy, very sloppy, and now she looks like that.
Is this some fitness club?
What is?
The Executive Council of the Homeowners Association. Is it a fitness club?
No, but we have a lot of people from Hollywood that live in our community. We have a lot of talent agents that come through the area. We can't have some mother who is fat and slovenly.
So it's an ego neighborhood. Do you have any legal fine print in your homeowner's
all right,
membership?
Is that it? Is that it, sir? Because we're not
I
mean, the fact is that...
No, we're not harassing anybody. We're not harassing anyone.
Briefly, Phil, I just hope that this gal here is behind bars for this harassment of this lady when the cruise comes because she's out of her mind.
She's going to embarrass us at the captain's dinner. Now, she started gaining all the weight after the death of her daughter.
You're quoting the Bible.
Wait a minute. The death of who?
The death of her daughter.
And she started gaining weight.
Yes. And I understand that's a tragedy. But you don't mourn the loss of a daughter by eating like a pig.
Ma'am, you're quoting the Bible, and you are no Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You are horrible.
How am I horrible?
No, you just said that her daughter died. And she started eating.
That's not the way you mourn the death of a child, by losing yourself in a court of buyers. And
I had no idea she'd lost a daughter.
Well, she did. And then she got fat. And you know what? I'm really sorry about her daughter. But she shouldn't have been driving with that boy. He didn't go to their high school. He wasn't even from our community. And
what was this, an automobile accident?
It involved cocaine. I don't know. But I'm just...
All right, hold on for a minute here. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She doesn't want her fat neighbor sitting near her at the captain's table on their cruise. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western States Homeowners Association. You're having your Wintertacular Caribbean Cruise on March 19th. This is when everybody from your Homeowners Association goes on the cruise. Only the members of the Executive Council of the Homeowners Association get to sit with the captain.
That's correct, yes.
And you want to make sure that everybody is in great physical shape. You all look like $1 million. You guys all look like you're the singles from Temptation Island. Is that it?
You know something, Phil? No, I don't think we all have to look like the singles from Temptation Island. But I'm saying that I'm 38 years old, and I look pretty darn good for 38. And I mean, I really do, and a lot of us do. So if Sandy wants to get up there with her 170 pounds and embarrass all of us, it's not going to happen. It won't happen, not in my lifetime.
Not in your lifetime?
No. I won't. I haven't worked this long and this hard to have our executive council invited to Captain Pohl's table on the SS Morgana just to have Fat Sandy ruin everything. And she's always ruining everything. Everything we ever do, she ruins it. And just once, I'd like her not to ruin something.
You sound very childish.
Well, hold on.
No, this is Steve.
This her husband?
Yes, sir. You know, my wife works very long and hard for the Homeowners Association, and this woman comes along and ruins everything.
She just does. She ruins everything for me.
Because she's 170 pounds?
I don't want her fat ass at our table. And I told everybody on our executive council that I lost all of that weight last summer so we could sit at the captain's table. And now Sandy won't lose the weight. And she's really disgusting. And she's just disgusting.
She's really disgusting, Phil.
All right, she's 170 pounds. I didn't know it meant that much to you. Here's Ann on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I've sat at the captain's table, and I didn't get your name. Mm-hmm. Is it Sandy?
No, my name is Bobby Dooley.
Oh, Bobby, you need to get a life.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get a life because the captain's table, first of all, she's not going to knock any dishes over because you're served at the captain's table.
There's a buffet.
Not at the captain's table?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you got your facts straight.
I don't know what cruise you went on.
And it doesn't matter. I've been on five. Mm-hmm. I've been on five.
Mm-hmm.
And discriminating against
this
girl.
Did you sit at the captain's table?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, one time we were invited.
How old are you?
56.
That's very unusual.
Why?
For someone that old to be allowed near the captain, isn't it?
I you know because, what your
what
problem
mean,
is?
Near
I think
the
you're very jealous of this girl.
No. I didn't mean
you're
allowed
very
near the,
jealous of
no,
this
no, no,
girl.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean allowed near the captain, but I meant at the captain's table.
Why? What does age have to do with it?
Well, because generally my understanding is, and Bob Pohl over at the cruise lines told me that only people of high moral standing are allowed.
Well, that's
at
why
the
probably
captain's
we
table.
Were invited.
Mm-hmm.
We have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen people sitting
mm-hmm.
at the captain's table
yeah.
licking their fingers.
Yeah.
So they're not all as high standard as you think. They have a lot of money, but they don't know how to act. You, on the other hand, need to get a life because you're very jealous of this girl.
No, I'm not jealous of 170
pounds. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah, you are. Because she ruins everything you do.
She always ruins everything.
You need to get a life.
She ruins everything.
What does she ruin? Because she's heavy?
First of all, yes, because 170
pounds. Well, what does that have to do with your life? What does that have to do with you?
Because this is our third annual Wintertacular. We warned her last year. She knew she'd be wearing something sheer.
So she doesn't have to go if she doesn't want to go. And if she wants to go, she should be allowed to go, and you should honor her to be there.
But do you think it's fair for her to wear something sheer at 170 pounds? Everyone's going to see her at the dessert buffet.
What?
Everyone
so what?
Will see her at the cotillion later on.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
much do you weigh?
I am 5'5". I'm 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I work out.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal trainer.
And if she chooses not to, then that makes her a bad person?
Our Wintertacular involves our executive council and the fact that we all work very hard on our morality throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask the lady what her name is? What's your name?
Wait, Steve, Bobby's either going to talk to her.
Well, this is Steve Dooley. I'm Bobby's husband.
Yes.
You said you're 56?
Yes.
And do you look it, or because I don't know.
Yeah, real good.
Well, no,
I'm size 4.
Size 4.
I work out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm 5'2".
Yeah.
And I work every day.
Did you go to the captain's table?
Yes, I did.
Yes, she's been at the captain's table.
That was a very nice. It was not like sleeping in the White House.
Was it in the Caribbean?
You people probably haven't been doing a whole lot. If you're going to compare that to the White House, you people haven't done too much.
Let me ask you something. Nothing. I saw last year Sandy ate gravy with a spoon, the cream sauce with a straw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Why does that? If you're not doing that, and now you think that's very wrong, you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. What do you care what she does?
Because I'm at the captain's table. We represent the executive council of the Western States.
But it's not you doing it. Are they going to look at you and say, "Oh my goodness"?
No, but it reflects badly on our cotillion committee. It reflects badly on our landscaping committee.
Wait a minute. It's the executive council and the landscaping committee.
Phil, we are a community, and we're very moral. I'm a size 2.
It doesn't matter what size you are. You have no heart.
Okay.
You have no heart. You're cold.
Cold?
Cold. Your organization should get you and throw you out.
Oh, you're red hot, baby.
They should throw you out.
You should ask my husband whether I'm cold or not.
They should throw you out. You're a disgrace.
I am the president of our homeowners association.
Talk about anybody like that.
Really?
And you're supposed to be her friend.
Thanks to me, they've opened the bougainvillea phase. We have 15 beautiful new homes.
Why don't you concentrate on that instead of concentrating on the other girl that you're harassing her?
My wife can't be thrown out. She's the president of the Homeowners Association.
Oh, no wonder.
She can be voted out.
She can be voted out, can't she? I understand it all now.
I understand it all.
It's either your way or no way.
I am Western Estates. I'm not just the president. I am Western Estates.
Oh my God.
Well, Heil Hitler.
You're coming off the way you were then.
What did you say?
I said
you come off the way you do.
What did you say?
I said Heil Hitler.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand.
You don't know who Hitler is.
Yeah,
they need
to click their boots when they're around you. They really do.
Is that bad?
It's a disgrace.
Is that bad? I don't
know. I'm glad I don't know anything about your organization.
Thank you very much.
Because I ticket you so bad.
You don't. You pick it up. They should put down the sandwiches and go to the captain's table.
Okay.
They don't have sandwiches at the captain's table.
My understanding is they are going to serve sandwiches.
Well, then it must be a lower life group. Because usually you're served.
Oh, you're really jealous. Oh, I get it now.
Listen, I've been at the table. I'm 56. I've been there, done that.
All right. Thank you, Ann, for your call. Let's go over here to Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Tony, hello?
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Just a couple quick questions. You keep equating morality with being overweight. I don't see the correlation here. What is immoral?
It's self-discipline. Self-discipline. I think it's immoral to sit in front of 20 people and eat gravy with a straw. You may not. I think that's immoral.
Ma'am, that wasn't my question about gravy with a straw.
Mm-hmm.
How can you equate morality with someone, by your own admission, who has taken to eating more because of that's her way of mourning the death of her daughter.
See, that's a good point.
I don't understand your value system at all.
You know something?
That man's making the point that we lost. This woman's daughter died last year, so she put on 40 pounds. I'm amazed she didn't put on 100 pounds.
One of the seven deadly sins is gluttony. And even though you're mourning your daughter, and it would make me very, very sad if I lost one of my children, I would not eat. Because then where would that, what would I be then?
Well, let me put this this way.
You see what I'm saying?
You see what I'm saying?
I don't agree with it.
Let me put it this way. You said that y'all are a very exclusive group and you have Hollywood people and all of that. Were he alive, would you make these same statements about Orson Welles or... Would you tell
Orson Welles is a fat whale?
I beg your pardon?
This is Steve, Phil. Orson Welles is a whale.
Orson Welles was a whale, so therefore he didn't have morality?
He's a big pig.
Is he the one who did the Paul Masson commercial?
Didn't he do the World of the War? I believe he did some time ago.
Oh, God, he was a bowling ball.
Well, you're getting
Bobby,
they're
serving sandwiches and a buffet. Are you sure you're not sitting at the Bell Captain's table?
Okay, are you making fun of us?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just think you guys have got a better table. I think you're sitting at the Bell Captain's table.
Well, it's obvious you're trying to insult us.
No, I'm not.
No, the Bell Captain.
Let, let me say this. Here again, you refer to these Hollywood celebrities and producers and whatever.
That live in our states,
Would you deny a seat to Oprah Winfrey, who, by her own admission, is overweight?
Uh-huh.
Would you be ashamed to be at a table with her?
You know something, I think you really have to hold those people to a different standard, because when you have Oprah Winfrey at the captain's table, I think it reflects favorably on your organization. She helps a lot of people, and she wrote some books, and she was even in some movies that I thought were very... I didn't see them, but I know one was about colored people, and another one was about the colored purple movie.
All right, listen, I got to run. Thank you very much for your call there, Tony. Thanks very much. Here is Karen on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I have a problem with her saying, because the woman gained weight because she lost her child?
Yes. Well,
I
can't
believe you.
People are breaking our balls on that one.
Oh, look at, people are going to ask you about that, Steve, okay?
Why are you breaking our balls on it?
Because the woman is, she lost a daughter.
Why, what? What does it have to do with putting on 40 pounds? I don't understand.
When people go through grief, how can you say anything that they do is wrong in any way?
What if they went out and shot 4 people?
You know what? They
were
going through grief.
That would be bad.
Are we supposed to think that all skinny people are as shallow as you are?
That would be bad.
Yes, that would be bad.
You know something, Karen? Is it Karen?
Yes, it is.
On March the 19th, I'll be at the captain's table, and I'll be thinking about you.
And you know what?
Not
my girlfriend went on a cruise, and her husband's a truck driver, and she sat at the captain's table.
No.
They take a random sample of people on the boat. You
possible?
Don't rate.
What does that talk about?
That happens.
Is that possible?
Yes, it is. It happens.
You
truck
don't
drivers.
Rate any higher than anybody else on that boat.
Well, you know something? On March 19th, I'll be at the captain's table thinking about you going to the Stop and Shop.
No, I don't go to the Stop and Shop.
She hung up. She hung up. So, thanks, Karen. All right, March 19th, don't forget that Homeowners Associate, the Western Estates Wintertacular Caribbean Cruise. And it's going to be a solid thing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. So the cruise, huh? And Bobby's Wintertacular Cruise that's coming up on the 19th, and that poor Sandy Butcher. So they've been oinking into the phone. Cruises, my kids went on one last year. My wife and the kids, they went on the Disney cruise, and they did Disneyland, and they went down and did the Caribbean. It just basically, they did all the rich kids stuff, and the children are going to grow up rich and sloppy, and it's, you know, when the revolution finally hits, they'll be roasted on a spit. I'm not preparing them for life, am I? Yeah, they'll be the first ones, fat little rich kids with their heads sliced off in a guillotine, with the mob below shouting and screaming and with the lit torches. It's wrong. So that's why I'm trying to impress upon them now. I said, look, guys, you got to know the value of a dollar, and sooner or later you have to get a job. And, well, I don't know, I did do a job. Look, taking the trash out of your bathroom and putting it into a paper bag in the kitchen, it's not a job. You're not punching a clock or anything. You just took the trash. So I took the keyboard away from the oldest one. I took the whole computer keyboard away. I just got, last night, you wonder how obsessed I was about this? I was getting really upset because I was thinking about him busting those headphones. And it was about 4 a.m., 4 o'clock in the morning. He had some buddies over. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not going to let him get away with that. I went downstairs. I grabbed his keyboard. And I hid it somewhere where his mom doesn't know where it is. So now if they say, you know, we really need the keyboard back because he has a, you know, like a report to do for school. No, I'm not going to tell you. We really need the keyboard back. He has a report he has to do for school. I'm not going to tell you. And nothing you can say can make me tell you either. So that's just some of the kid torturing that I like to do at my house. By the way, we wanted to just sort of throw this out there. I've heard people say when they listen to the Phil Hendry show that they laugh so hard they almost crashed their car. I've heard this said many times to me. Phil, when you did this bit or when you did that bit, I almost crashed my car. And we do want to compile some statistics if you ever really crashed your car. And we'd also like to know if anyone ever died listening to this show. As the result of something we did anyone ever die of a heart attack, a gunshot, anything else? We'd like that information. You can mail it to us here at Premier Radio Networks in Sherman Oaks, California. That's the Phil Hendry Show, Premier Radio Networks, Sherman Oaks, California, because we believe we might have killed someone. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to be particular. We didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't our intention. But we feel that we might have sent somebody's car over a bluff or down a fjord or something. Or, rolling down a barranca into a ravine. One of those, like, 1950s black and white, you know, like a Willys Ford, just like out of Duel. One of the things we want to tell you, if you find the car going out of control, laughing at something you heard of the show, open the door and jump out. Just tuck yourself into a ball and roll out of the car before it goes down the side of the hill and then explodes. The other thing we'd like to know, by the way, is you've ever seen your car go over a hill after you were, you know, jumped out and rolled like a ball. Did your car explode at the bottom? Do they all explode? Anyway, so that's some information that we would like. Also, Mike wanted me to mention that Laura Flynn Boyle is really ugly. He just saw her picture in Vanity Fair. She looks like she's fresh out of Auschwitz with those arms. And you're right about that, Mike. I did see that picture of her. She's dating Jack Nicholson. She's got those skinny freaking Dachau arms. How is that? What planet is that attractive on? Because it ain't Earth. Not the Earth I live on. When a woman is so skinny, when her legs are, they don't even have any calf definition. When the knees are wider than the thigh, you know, that's... You see what I'm saying? That's when you've gone way over the line. When your knees are wider than your thighs, you better get yourself you better start eating the pasta. Start shoveling that sourdough bread with lots of butter and olive oil. Because you have just crossed over into Ethiopia. It's the same thing as like the top of your head should never be thinner than your neck. If you know guys who got their necks are wider than the top, here's the top of your head. If the neck is wider, you're a meathead. You're an ox. You didn't get out of school. And look at this. Okay, already Craig's checking out my head. Forget it, man. My head is fat. My neck ain't that fat. My head's fat. Maria said to me, oh, look at this picture of you. This is cute. I said, really? This is when your head was skinnier. Look at how small your head is there, and look at how, you know, I'm going, jeez, I never noticed it. You're right, my head's like a freaking bowling ball now. And back then, it was just sort of a head. You know, it was a much better head back then. I agree. Oh, you mean the one on my shoulders. I didn't know. So the other thing that I wanted to mention about all of that is, no, seriously, you can't have your neck wider than the top of your head. Your kneecaps can't be wider than your thigh. And you just got to get some food into you. Before all of this is very wrong. And by the way, I started on my high-protein diet yesterday. High protein, no starches, just protein, green vegetables, water. Really going to keep it beautiful until I got home and she was serving jambalaya rice and I had 3 bowls of that. But I was on the diet for 12 hours. So I was on that whole no starch thing until I got home and my wife was serving like polenta or something. It's a Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I was just looking at all the coverage here about the guys that were captured from Texas. And they had John Walsh on from America's, I wanted to say America's Funniest Home Videos, and I know that's America's Most Wanted. John Walsh from America's Most Wanted, not America's Funniest Most Wanted. And they had a variety of people talking about this thing. And there's a controversy going on. Should this Channel 11 reporter, a guy by the name of Eric Singer, Channel 11, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I would say, good on you, man. You nailed the story. You've got a lot of play for your own name as a reporter, and I dare say you ain't going to be in Colorado Springs much longer. I'm sure that you're on your way to the big time. They wanted to be on television before they gave up. These two guys wanted to be on TV before they gave up. The I don't even know the guy's name, but they wanted to be on the tube. And I'm thinking, because this guy on Channel 11 said, this averted a tragedy. Putting these guys on TV averted a tragedy where the cops might have had to shoot it out with them. Now, maybe I watch too much TV, and I'm probably sure that I do watch too much TV. And I go to a lot of movies. But I've seen situations like this end where they just stalemate them. You know, in other words, where they blockade them and they can't eat and they can't do anything. They can't do crap. What's up with that? Why can't they do that? What are you going to put them on television for, man? The woman who's the mother of the cop that they shot. That's the lady that I was, my heart was going out to her because she says, geez, they murdered my son. You know, my son doesn't have anything to say about this. They put these two guys on TV. Now, look, I'm not going to say they're a couple of dirtbags. I'm sure they are. They're in prison, after all. I don't know what their problem is. They say that there's trouble in the prison system of Texas. Well, good luck, Charlie. Nobody cares, you know. I mean, I may, because I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I'll go out and I'll picket in front of the prison during the death penalty when the lights dim as some guy gets the juice. But nobody else cares. So you're living in the wrong era. People are not listening to prisoners these days and listening to them complain about how crappy it is inside and there were maggots in the stew last night. What they are listening to is better and more effective ways of greasing guys who are either on death row or who get out and are on the run. So here's my question. Playing it down the middle like I usually do on this radio show and pretending, for instance, that for a moment that I'm one of those people who would like to see these guys get, annihilated by the cops. How come the cops couldn't have just said, put your guns down and come out. We'll give you 10 minutes. Otherwise, we're going in like Rambo. How come they couldn't do that? Because they don't want to get any cops killed. That's why they don't want to shoot out. So, next thing, you wait it out. You wait it out. You starve them out. These guys, what are they going to do? The worst thing that can happen is they'll kill themselves. I got to tell you right now, it ain't going to hurt me. I'm going to sit down and have dinner that night. Not that I don't care about them. They're, you know, fellow human beings on this spaceship Earth. I'm not one of these guys that says, they're just scum. Well, everybody's got their story to tell, but it ain't going to keep me from my rare roast beef or my barbecued tri-tip if those guys decide to swallow the barrel of their 12-gauge. What's the problem? Why couldn't they do that? Instead, they give these guys, and you should have heard these knuckleheads.
The Texas system is wrong, and not that I have not had done no bad stuff, but by the same token, does that mean I have to die in a hail of gunfire? Holy geez.
You drop a bomb on the hideout and only the fugitives die. You just, where were they, in a motel? See, you just, okay, so Holiday Inn loses one of their franchises. A big deal. Was it a Holiday Inn, Colorado? All right, Holiday Inn. Look, it probably needed renovating anyway. I mean, no offense, I've been to a couple of Holiday Inns. You know, a little updating that logo, maybe we could bring that out of the 50s. Maybe we get just a little Generation Y thing with that. So they're at a Holiday Inn. So you toss in an incendiary grenade. You wipe out a whole wing. They wanted to put a pool in there anyway. Holiday Inn goes nuts, you know. What are you doing? Sorry. That's what's insurance for. And now John Walsh, the guy from America's Funniest Most Wanted, is on TV and he says, look, I'm not trying to be cavalier. This is a serious thing. I'm dead serious about this. I really am tired of hearing people take advantage of certain situations so that they can get just a little, they can squeeze a little bit more notoriety out of their life situation. These two cons did that, and they used that reporter. And the guy from Channel 11, he's riding on top of the world right now. And, when I heard the mother of that cop, I thought, bad move, man. And there were other ways those coppers could have dealt with that besides putting these two scumbags on TV and having them, do their pitch, which was a load. Man, I heard anything more disjointed than Ted Kaczynski. Ted freaking Kaczynski sounded like John F. Kennedy compared to these guys. And that guy was, what was he talking about? Anyway, John Walsh was on there. Did you hear him the other day? What was Ted Kaczynski all, he didn't want machines or something? And he was really fed up with his electric toothbrush? I don't... The whole problem, you're right, machines. Let's go back to bringing our water up from the street in buckets. Anyway, so Walsh is on and he says,
We really want to thank the guy who tipped us, our anonymous tipster,
who called our anonymous tip hotline at America's Most Wanted, a guy from the trailer park, but I don't want to say any more. It was a guy, and he was in the trailer park, and he's about 6'2", but that's it. That's all I'm saying about the guy who anonymously called in. By the way, his number is 213-251. I'm thinking, would you shut up? Thank you very much. This guy called in a tip on how much, six of these cons out of a maximum security prison in Texas. They're getting out someday. And I'm going to look up that sumbitch in that trailer park, whoever he is. And we'd like to thank the, I don't want to mention any names, but Jeff Holster, thank you very much for the tip. What if that was you, Taylor? We don't want to mention any names, but Craig Taylor, thank you for that tip on where those guys are hiding out. You got to go to the Federal Witness Protection Program and you didn't do anything wrong. Enjoy your $500,000 reward, by the way, Bill Cunningham of the trailer park where they were holed up. So anyway, that's my only thing. Don't those guys can throw in a bomb, a hand grenade? They can take those guys out with a shotgun. I mean, I don't think there would have been anybody in this country that would have shed a tear, man. Hey, whatever happened to the lawsuit that the mother of that guy that did the bank in North Hollywood, whatever happened to that? You remember the big North Hollywood shootout when those two guys, I mean, the cops, LAPD, man, came down like a freaking sledgehammer on those guys. And that's the end of that romance, right? Nobody got killed. Nobody got hurt except the two guys. Then the mother of one of those guys brings a law, like a wrongful death lawsuit. Did she win? Tell me she didn't win. Look, I'm the first guy to tell you, the cops will abuse their power. Cops can step over the line just as much as anybody else. But it's a hard time for me to get up any sympathy for a guy laying there telling him to screw off. And he's bleeding and they want to know where anybody else is and he won't say anything. All he can tell you is just take your gun and jam it. And, okay, you know what? I'm going to take my time calling that ambulance. What do you think about that? Well, I'm going to sue you. Oh, well. Poor me. Well, what happened to that? We don't know? We'll find out. I don't think it was the grandmother. She was some lady with a babushka pulled around her head, and she had it tied in a knot and pushing an ox cart with all of her belongings in front of it, you know, just ahead of the blitzkrieg. And she's on TV, he's a good boy, which, by the way, I got into a whole thing with my wife last night about motherhood. You know, we honor it in this society, don't we? Ray Carruth is going inside for, what, 18 years? And his mama was crying because he's a good boy. Is there anything more misguided in this world than motherhood? Is there anything more misguided? Is there anything more unconscious than motherhood? And that's when we were getting into a discussion last night about how we're going to deal with the busted headphones. I'm taking away. No, we can take some money from it. Don't take away the keyboards. I said, baby, you know, no offense, but please don't be one of these women that when he's standing in front of the judge and they found the heads in the icebox and torsos in the sink and the judge is going to put him inside at Atascadero for another 30 years for the criminally nuts and you stay, he couldn't have done it, he's a good boy. Because all of those well-meaning mothers, I mean, they're pumping into this society how many of these reprobates and sociopaths and rapscallions? And they're standing in front of the judge when the end of the when the trail finally comes to its logical conclusion. They're standing in front of the judge saying, he's a good boy. He couldn't have done it. And that's what his mother said. That's Ray Carruth's mother stood there in front of the judge. He's a good boy. He would never do that. I don't know what that is. Is that 18 years or 20 years or 30 years? Could I have screwed up that bad? No, I couldn't. I refuse to allow myself to even consider that I screwed up this boy's upbringing so bad that this is where he is. It's got to be somebody else. Somebody else must have done it. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. So, you know, the next time I hear about a mama who is a motley coddler or just a, you know, a real loving mother and a doting son, you know what you got there? You got Ma freaking Barker is what you got. Next time I hear about a mother who cares and loves and is going to stand in front of the judge and talk about what a tough childhood he had. Well, what kind of child? Well, I used to burn his fingers with a, you know, with a Zippo lighter. Really, yeah. He was a good boy, though. He took it. He was a good boy. He had a tough upbringing. What happened? I used to beat him with a, you know, with a hot poker from the fireplace. He took it like a man, though. Anyway, it's the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Back in a moment. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, and our program is very unique. I sit and I talk to myself and to you in a variety of different voices. I'm not a voice artist. I don't do impressions. I'm not doing impressions of President Clinton. I'm not doing voice impressions of George. I'm not working on my George Bush. I do characters, and we create characters on this show. I always love it when guys call and they say,
I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but the lady you got on right now, she's the same lady.
Yeah, I got it.
You mean you noticed it?
Yes, I think I did. Oh, you want me to do a Bill Clinton? Okay. Bill Clinton, I can't do one. I could do a Ronald Reagan. I used to do a, Will, that's a deep subject, Mr. President. Will, that's all I can do with him. And then there's Nixon. Hey, Skippy could do Bill Clinton. Skippy, what does Bill Clinton sound like?
Okay, sound like this. Oh, hi, Skippy, how you doing?
Great. But I don't do that crap. So what I do is just characters. And it's a lot different, even though you may not think it is. It is a lot different from Norman Bates and his mother, okay? So come on, give a brother a break. Help a brother out over here, man. I am not freaking Norman Bates. Mother?
Yes, Norman?
Mother, why'd you kill that woman?
I butchered her up.
Put her in the trunk of the car. Mother, there's blood. Mother, oh no.
She was a slut.
Well, you got that right, but otherwise, you know. And so, you know, talking about motherhood, so that item, I don't go that far. Now, on our program, we do a little theatrical presentation, and that's what we do. And for those of you who have been listening for a long time, you understand that. For those of you who are new listeners to our broadcast, that's really what we do on our show. We create a theatrical presentation. Why am I telling you this? Well, that's another problem that a lot of our listeners have, longtime listeners. Why do you tell people? Well, because we found we can tell people this and still get any number of people calling in who don't know that it's a fake voice they're talking to. I got to be honest with you, I'm very proud of two things. If I'm proud of anything about on this show, I'm proud of this, that I can do female voices and get women to believe that they're talking to another woman. I'm very proud of that. And the other thing that I'm very proud of is that I can do an ethnic African, sort of an ethnic stereotyped African-American accent, and I can have black listeners believe they're talking to another black person. Now, it's one thing to just do a goofy voice. It's another thing to get people, members of a certain group, to believe that they're talking to another member of their group. And when I got women calling them and saying, I'd like to talk to that woman, that's something I'm kind of proud of. And if I point to anything as that is successful about this show, and if anybody wants to doubt how well we execute these characters on a show, I point to that. Because I've heard people say, you know, you don't really do the voices very well, because I can tell it's you. And I can, well, you know what? I can tell it's Mel Blanc doing Daffy Duck, and I can tell it's him doing Bugs Bunny, and I can tell it was him doing Yosemite Sam. There's the same voice quality going on, if you listen really carefully, okay? But I kind of enjoy the show. I don't sit there and listen to bust on Mel Blanc because, hey, you're Daffy Duck, sound like Bugs Bunny. I lose myself in the fantasy of the moment. And I lose myself in the characters. So that's why we do what we do. Now, people have said, and I mentioned this to you guys. Guys said to me, interviewing me for a magazine, he said, do you ever think you're crazy? Like there's something wrong with you? There can't be anything wrong with me or crazy because I happen to hold down a job. I pay a mortgage. I've got a wife. I've got kids. I pay my bills. I am not a criminal. No, I'm not nuts. Well, do you ever forget who you are? No. I don't forget who I freaking am. Jesus. Do you ever think you're someone other than who you are? No. I know exactly who I am. Who am I? Phil Henry. This ain't no Norman Bates, Mrs. Bates thing. I know we were talking about motherhood just a few moments ago. This ain't Olivia Soprano gonna grease Tony, which, by the way, that was on the other night, wasn't it? And marvelous, marvelous, tremendous show. And I just only wish somebody from HBO was listening right now and would send me season 2 on tape. But I guess that's not going to happen. It would be a nice thing, man. Everybody from television calling this show wanting something from me, wanting to come in and watch the show. It'd be nice if somebody from over there would. Who are those two guys that did the Mr. Show show? Ain't that what's the name of that show, Melissa, Mr. Show? They sent me a letter one time saying that they dug the show. So why don't you guys give me, they work at HBO, don't they? All right, give me tapes of The Sopranos and come on over. What's his name? Bob Odenkirk and David Cross? All I ask is for the second season. That's it, man. I don't want anything from anybody. Just give me the second season of The Sopranos, because that show, in my opinion, speaks volumes about the human condition, all right? Well, maybe it doesn't. But the whole thing with Livia trying to kill her son, that's beautiful. And that should have happened in the more than one case in the history of this country, starting with those two guys that bagged out of prison. You know, the two guys that just, well, never mind. Okay, other information. Bill Clinton's finally out of office. You guys can be happy. You people who didn't think he was going to leave, he left, okay? You feel better now? Is everybody all right with that? Clinton's gone now. You can stop with that old saw. I actually heard people say this in the weeks leading up to that guy leaving office. I don't think he's going to leave. What? I don't think he's going to leave. I think he's going to... What do you mean he's not going to leave? I think he's so... power hungry. I think he's so devious. I think there is nothing crazier or sicker. I don't think there's anything more untrustworthy, anything more bizarre and unexplainable than the very people that criticized Clinton for the last 8 years. Everything that he did pales in comparison to the obsession that you people had over this guy for 8 years. I mean, it was funny for a while. Then it got spooky. You guys have attributed to him, I mean, this guy's like Attila the Freakin'. You attribute to him every single supernatural power, short of being the man JC himself hanging on the cross. I mean, he can do this, and he can do that, and he's killing off the troopers. And Hillary, now we got to do with Hillary. God forbid that a strong woman was the first lady of this country. God forbid we had a woman who had a career. Oh, my God, what a horrible... Well, no, it's more than that. This, you know what? Everybody is so happy about Laura Bush because she's just a sweet, nice lady, and she's going to keep her big mouth shut. Everyone just loves her. Why? She's a broad who'll keep her mouth shut. You think I'm a sexist? You think this show is anti-woman? I'm speaking the biggest truth that's ever been spoken about this thing. Laura Bush and the one before her, Barbara Bush, God bless her, but she's kind of a dimwit, isn't she? In all seriousness, that whole line she laid out, I thought he was going to hit my son during the debates. I thought she was okay, you know. She had the bugged out eyes, but I didn't make any comment about that. She was, it's a medical condition. But when she made that crack about, I don't know, I thought Gore was going to hit my son, I thought, you're senile now. You're senile. And I don't think Bill Clinton's going to leave office. What are you smoking? What are you drinking? What are you putting in your brownies? Are you peeing blue? Are you peeing yellow? What are you? Is your urine cloudy? You can come out of the woods now. Clinton's gone. Y2K never happened. Everybody okay now? Come on out. The black helicopters, man, they're just, that's just Channel 5. Don't worry about it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget our number for the CD. It's 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL. Hey, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. They continue with film footage of, and the you know, the file footage and the videotape of the cons, the Texas escaped convicts who were rounded up by the Colorado authorities. And we're not trying to rub it in on Texas, but the FBI ain't mentioned the Texas cops once, have they? FBI ain't said diddly about Texas. FBI said, thank you, Colorado. Thank you, Colorado Springs. Thank you, Denver. Thank you, Steamboat Springs. Thank you, Aspen. Thank anything but Texas, man. They ain't saying nothing. It's tough. It's tough. It's a tough one. Now, these guys, they were leading these guys out of the van. One of the things that I think that tripped these seven guys up was the hair dye job. Let's talk about this, because that orange hair, man, first of all, you can't get seven white guys in their late 30s crammed into maybe like a Buick traveling across the open plains of Oklahoma, Nebraska, and one of them has, like, pink hair, and the other one's got blue hair, and the other one's got shoe-shined hair. Because these guys don't look like they're going to a freaking Limp Bizkit show, you know? They don't look like their parents gave them the car for the night. There's something wrong with this picture. Orange jumpsuits and blue hair. Wrong. And they were leading this one guy out. He's in the orange jumpsuit with the shoe-shined hair. Another guy had orange freak. The most obvious dye job you ever saw in your life. Now, that's not going to stand out. How long were these guys gone for? 3 months? They were gone for like 3 months. It was long enough for one of the guys to grow a beard. But, you know, can you imagine them sitting in a... they're sitting in their hideout. Okay, I got it. What did you get? What did you do? I got the hair dye. You got pink. What am I going to do with pink? Well, I thought you wanted me to get this stuff. Get it. Take it back to the store with that pink. Now you got to go all the way back there, and you'll probably get spotted. Okay, I got some more. Blue? Look, man, I ain't take it all back. Well, all I had was that Afro Sheen, man. I ain't doing nothing like that old black stuff to my hair. Forget about the Afro Sheen. Just get some hair dye other than blue and pink. How do I look? How do you look? Well, you'd look fine if we lived in a world where bright orange was a normal hair color. Go back in there and redo your hair. This is the conversation these cons are having. Go in and redo your hair. So they've gone from the world of machismo and cell blocks and lockdowns, and they're now in they're in the land of Miss Clairol. All they want is freedom, and they've got to go to any length. Big sissies. Now, one guy had some ugly on him. So, by the way, Mike Schaefer made a very good point. I'm going to get back to the Clinton situation and the fact that he's no longer president, so you can come out from hiding now and you can stop, you know, calling up all the talk shows and worrying about what's he going to do next, okay? This country isn't ready for a woman to be president. Who are we kidding? I've never seen a country so full of crap when it comes to its view of women than America. You know, face the music, okay? At our very heart and our very soul, man, we are still plucking a banjo someplace. Because this is a country, when we finally get a first lady who's got some moxie and some guts, you know what? It's Billary, and oh my God, she may become president. God forbid we get a woman president, right? I mean, now we got a woman who's a first lady that everybody can deal with. That's Laura Bush. She ain't going to say squat. I haven't heard this woman say word one of you. Have you heard one word come out of her mouth? Does she talk? I think she's a deaf mute. I was trying to think about, isn't there a, I know there's one of them that's a deaf mute or a Mexican or, there's something in that family that's like, you know, minority. Didn't she win the Oscar for Children of a Lesser God? Is that the same? Oh. So Hillary Clinton, you know, because she's a strong woman, well, God forbid we're going to have her as a president. She's going to be in the United States Senate. And then I may hear people saying, oh, my God, she may run for president. Well, guess what I'm going to vote for if she does? See, I'm not full of crap about women. I'm not pandering to women. I have more people in the public eye, especially doing shows like this, that pander. All this bull crap about how they honor women and how they respect women and how they wish things were equal for women. That's the biggest load ever come down to Pike, man, since Ringo Starr took up the drums. The feminine forum. We don't want a woman president. We had a strong first lady who actually had a career and had a couple of opinions on things, and oh my God, you thought the freaking sky was falling around here. A woman with an opinion and a little bit of strength. Now we're back to business as usual with the first ladies. I'm sure she's a wonderful woman. I'm sure she gives of her time to charities. I'm sure she does all kinds of great things. But Laura Bush is cut more from the mold of what we expect an American woman to be. Deferential, quiet, mouth shut, pretty? Yeah, if you're 50. And anyway, no, she's, you know, okay. I'm not going to say, you know, she's a fine-looking woman. She's a handsome woman. She strikes a handsome pose. And there you go. That's all we want. But you don't. You're going to sit there and tell me that we want a woman who is a who actually has got a couple of ideas. We sit around here fooling ourselves with that bull crap. Do me a favor. Take that mess into somebody else's house, okay? Baloney. And I don't know. It's just pissing me off. It ain't really. Laura Bush ain't no Cindy McCain. But then who's Cindy McCain? Oh, she's the wife of John McCain. Who's he? Oh, the guy that I voted for in the primaries? Thank you, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot all about old John. That nut job. No, but seriously, that's what's going to happen. So Clinton's gone. Relax. Take a chill pill. Take a cigarette break. It's going to be fine, I guess. And Bush was very presidential today. He's sitting there and he's saying something. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. Oh, I know. The economy's going south, so he wants to railroad this tax cut through. That's it. So make sure everybody's getting really paranoid. Make sure you send the message, Bush, that the economy blows beyond all comparison so you can railroad this tax cut through. That's what I want from my president. When there isn't any real sign of consumer lack of confidence, make sure there is some by the end of the month by opening your big trap about that one, Bush, so we can get the tax cut thing going. I swear to God, man, if Republicans, if they never have another idea, they'll always be able to ride on that tax cut deal. What are your ideas? Well, I think we ought to have a tax cut. That's the same one that I heard like 20 years ago. Yeah, that's the same idea. You guys just keep gussying that one up, man. You're dressing that idea up. How about that trickle down? Do we want to do some of that? Speaking of trickle down, excuse me, I got to hit the can. That's what they call the, by the way, the men's room at the Reagan Library, the trickle down room. He's the guy that gave us that. Am I a liberal? Look, it, all I want is for the bullcrap to stop. You think it ended with Bill Clinton leaving office? Think again, my brother. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think Clinton was full of crap, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the BS just gets thicker and thicker because they just tell us what we want to hear. Now, this guy Bush today says he's going to do a tax cut. And what's the other big brain surgery thing that he's going to do? He's going to do a tax cut. And what's the... Just give me the standard... School vouchers! Yeah! That'll work. Had that idea for, I don't know, 15 years. That's working. Let's just trot out all that old stuff and put it up there and see if anybody pulls the trigger on any of that stuff. And, you know... And then go off and go golfing with your old man. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Good for you, George. I hope you do a great job. Our prayers are with you. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, here is what I think is going to happen tonight on Temptation Island. This is Phil Hendry's Temptation Island predictions. What a show, huh? I'm watching it tonight at 9. I watch it every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Tonight, I think, is the night that Waitasi and Tahid get tossed. And in addition to Waitasi, and interesting name for someone who gets tossed off of, her name is Waitasi, and she gets tossed tonight. And Tahid also. Billy's got some big problems. Not only does his girlfriend Mandy cheat on him, but he finally admits to himself that that knife thrust of pain up his penis every time he urinates is probably gonorrhea. So thank you very much, Lisa, one of the singles. Thank you for the gonorrhea. All right, so that's great. Get on a Fox TV show and get the clap. That's great. Also tonight, our predictions on Temptation Island. Kaya recognizes that even though he changed his first name to that of a female stripper's, he forgot to change his last name, which is Wittenberg. Also, his girlfriend Valerie realizes in horror that she looks like Barbara Streisand, so she swims out beyond the barrier reef and hopes that she gets attacked by a shark and eaten. And that doesn't happen either. It's just a lot of pain. Andy's caught peeing in the hot tub, and true to Temptation Island's traditions, he's forced to spend the night in a bamboo cage with a coconut shell food bowl. Finally, a Shannon, who is so hated by all the other couples, she's slow-cooked on a spit like the pig she is. So that's what I think's going to happen today on Temptation Island. Okay. So I just think that you guys need to... Are they getting tossed tonight? Waitasi and Tahid. I can't wait. That guy is a real pile, ain't he? He's a pant load, man. But the the clap is going to be Billy's parting gift to who? Tahid? Oh, okay, thank you. That's why Billy's upset. Tahid's leaving. That show, I don't know how I got hooked on that thing. My wife said, "Are you going to watch that piece of crap?" I said, "I don't know. You know, I'm going to grow up and quit watching it. Just because I happen to do a radio program that has to be hooked into the popular culture don't mean I got to watch all that swill, right? I don't watch Malcolm in the Middle. I don't watch Grounded for Life. Well, I don't watch Ally McBeal. I don't watch a... Do you watch Ally McBeal? I'd seen one Ally McBeal. That's it. And by the way, tonight on... tonight on Temptation Island... Billy makes a surfboard out of a palm frond and coconuts and surfs over to kill Mandy's date. He garrots him with a 4-pound test fishing line. So watch that Billy tonight. I don't know, somebody busts into somebody's apartment. They either make love to him or murder them. I don't know which. But I told you, this is the only show that I know about in reality television where people could really die. What happened to the mole? Is the mole on? Is it off? Is it still on Cindy Crawford's face? What? It was on last night? Did you watch it? No. Anyway. Boy, it's getting its ass kicked. It's a really bad idea, the mole. Reality television. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. You want to do a really good reality show is just take five guys, five American 45-year-old men to a golf course and hook them up with five hookers from Ensenada and videotape the weekend. There's your reality TV. There's your Temptation Island. Go down to Tijuana. I don't know, you know. Call NBC. I told you last week they are hurting big time. That's your idea there. Oh, you have standards? Oh, is that? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? You have standards. Well, I just thought, you know, Jay's doing so well. How about Must See Sunday? How about we don't care whether you watch on Sunday? Get a hooker with AIDS and see who gets it. There's your must-see TV. In Vegas. Welcome to Vegas. Welcome to Who Gets the Clap? Yes, a weekly program. We take five scumbags. The guy who gets the clap, the other guys get five G's apiece. And they can use the chips as they wish downstairs, and the dancers will kick your teeth out. Draw chips for everybody in the room. That's what you're going to do with that MTV or with the must-see Sunday TV or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't know. How come it's only Thursday night that's must-see? Because the rest of it is you don't want to know. How about it's must-see Thursday night and you don't want to know Wednesday night? But these shows, you can write yourself a very nice meal ticket. Just get somebody to bankroll this thing. You get somebody to roll the dice. Now, why do you suppose the American networks rolled the dice on Temptation Island Survivor? Is it because they have courage? Is it because the technocrats that run the American television networks have guts? No, it's because they stole the ideas from European television. Thank you. It's because Survivor, Temptation Island, All in the Family, Baywatch, NYPD Blue, Dragnet, Dr. Kildare, it all came from Europe. They all had the Sanford and Son. That thing was some a limey in it. It was called Limey and Son over there. All these ideas have been tried and true and tested in Europe. Nobody, Steptoe and Son, that's the name of the show? Nobody over here is going to roll a dice and take a big take the big gamble on a show like that. You know, the production cost on a show like this got to be enormous. You're taking them down to an island, and you have to negotiate with them. Where are they anyway? Where's this temptation? It's Belize, right? Okay. I mentioned last week, okay, that's the British government. It can't be that difficult to negotiate with them. But this Survivor, weren't they down last year on some, was it like New Guinea? They had to walk in. There was some guy with sunglasses and, you know, a wood, you know, some cat looked like Gaddafi. Hi, welcome to my island. Do you wish American television? Oh, you know. Some guy that looks like Yaphet Kotto, and they've got to give him girls. Just keep him with liquor and women while they film this freaking thing. Marlon Brando's island's the only one that they don't have to really pay off with girls and liquor. Well, then, I don't know. Some cat that looks like Yaphet Kotto with the shades, look like Idi Amin, sitting there in a big chair, and two guys from Fox or CBS saying, here's the idea. We bring broads, guys. It's a beautiful thing. Yes, my friend. And then they leave a suitcase just very, oh, geez, I forgot my suitcase. Oh, well, there's only about $2 million in cash in it. Marlon Brando owns an island somewhere near Tahiti, doesn't he? And Fox was going to cut a deal, cheeseburgers for life, and they could do anything they wanted over there. But he said no. He said, don't offend me with that kind of nonsense. I'm telling you, Mike, we got to write a TV show. Oh, come on. Let's quit screwing around. Let's write a television show. Just if all we got to do, man, is forget we got any standards. That's all we got to do is just forget we have any standards. Forget you're heterosexual. That's all I'm asking you to do. You want to write a television show? All you have to do is each night practice with a cucumber and a condom and just, you know, very gentle. I'm just saying, you know, we can do it. Doesn't mean you're gay. It's got nothing to do with it. In fact, you could sue the grocery store you bought the cucumber from for rape. But what I'm saying, if you want to write for television, you have to get used to jamming something up there. It might as well be, you know. Mike says that's our capital. We're going to finance the show from the lawsuit that we win from the grocery store that we sue for rape because we bought one of their cucumbers and to practice dealing with network executives sat on it on a regular basis. Bend ourselves over a coffee table and took turns beating each other and inserting cucumbers. And there, now you know how to write for TV. And by the way, I got some friends. I don't want to say that they're really friends. You know how it is. But they write for television. But please don't, you know, don't hold it against me. And they got that strike coming up. But these guys, man, they're putting the freaking sandbags in front of their door. These writers, they got a writer strike coming up. So they ain't going to have no writing for the TV shows. I don't know if you're going to notice any difference, but... Anyway, there's some friends of mine, they're putting the sandbags together. They got no money. People are going to starve. Writers are going to starve. This is where we bust out, Mike. During this writer's strike, we can do a couple of scab things, get some scripts going, go in there, chum around with the guild after they come back. They'll love us or pretend like they do, and they'll plant something, a little plastique under the car late at night as we come out of Musso and Frank's. It'll be great. But before we do anything, learning how to deal with a network executive, we've got to spend the night in a drunk tank with some kind of a psychopath who, you know, just some guy who says, I love you, when he sees you walking through the gate. Guy named Bubba, you know, if you don't mind being his wife. And we are in like Flint, because this gig's got to end. This is, oh, God, this is nowhere. Everybody knows this ain't nowhere, man. All right, that's it. I might as well let you guys know I'm announcing my retirement from radio, and that is effective on March the 1st. I didn't want to break the news to you like this, but I am off the air as of March 1st. This is Phil Hendry. Thank you for your support. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show. Northwest Airlines says a pilot has been fired after apparently operating an aircraft while under the influence of alcohol. Northwest Vice President Jeff Carlson says the first officer of the flight failed two blood alcohol tests following a flight from San Antonio to Minneapolis Thursday morning, and Northwest says an airline ground employee smelled alcohol on the DC-9 co-pilot's breath after he got off of the flight. It was flight 1047 from San Antonio to Minneapolis. The co-pilot registered a blood alcohol level of 0.056 on the first breath test and 0.043 on the second. And in case you're wondering, the legal limit for pilots is 0.04. That's roughly half of what it is for us as motorists. So on the first breathalyzer, 0.056, the second one, 0.043. He says there were no reports of anything unusual about the co-pilot's performance or events aboard the flight. Have you got Art there? Art Griego is a former commercial pilot, and we bring him on the Phil Hendry Show here to talk about this. It's very unusual, isn't it, Art?
It is unusual, Phil, although Northwest Airlines has had this problem before.
When?
They had the similar problem in the 1980s, and you can't approve of this as a pilot. But let me take the flip side of this argument for a minute, and I want everybody listening to your broadcast right now to imagine that they are a pilot. A typical airliner is about 300,000 pounds of steel, fuel, and fiberglass. You are charged with piloting it. Any man or woman who is human, I think, would feel the air on their neck as being pretty hot and would feel the hair stand up on their arms. You have the lives of 300 people in your care, not to mention the lives of their families. you get a little apprehensive. So,
So what are you saying in the case of these guys?
No, I'm not saying that they had the right to drink, but I'm asking you to understand now from the other side, getting into 300,000 pounds of steel, fuel, and fiberglass. When I was flying commercially, Phil, just to give an example, I know a lot of pilots out there that can identify with this. When I was flying commercially, there wasn't one flight that I didn't first stop in the men's room and vomit. And then on my way back...
You vomited before every flight?
I think it's pretty standard for pilots because it is an extremely dangerous, sometimes a very high-tension, very, very intense undertaking to pilot an enormous commercial jetliner thousands of miles across the country at times... You don't know where you are. I mean, yes, you have navigation, but you're thinking, I'm taking off, say, from Los Angeles, and I'm going to fly this 11 hours across the Hudson Bay, over the North Atlantic. I'm going to come down over Ireland, come down over Scotland, and hope like hell that I can land this thing and find Heathrow Airport or Gatwick or Orly or De Gaulle. And if you think of it in those terms, it's amazing that planes ever find their way anywhere. And there's not a pilot out there that doesn't think as he takes off, doesn't say a silent prayer to God. Let me find my way. If you fly, Phil, and I'm sure you do, you know there's a lot of clouds up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the weather's bad.
All right. Have you ever stopped to think, how does a pilot find the airport? He looks out his window, and all he sees are literally hundreds of miles of clouds. And suddenly he just magically dips down through the clouds. And there it is. There's Orlando, or there's Detroit, or there's Los Angeles, or there's New York, or there's San Antonio. How does he do that? When I was a commercial pilot, I remember bringing the nose of the plane down through the cloud cover and hoping to Christ, and excuse my language, that I'd see an airport there.
Well, wait a minute. You guys have navigational tools such as radar. I mean, if you're bringing the plane down through the clouds...
You bring it down, but you're thinking, when I bring it down through these clouds, am I going to see a runway? Am I going to see a farm? Am I going to see a city? Will I, and God forbid, especially when you're flying to Florida, and it's a very thin peninsula, when I bring this thing down through the clouds, am I going to be out over the Atlantic Ocean without a light in sight? And a very dear friend of mine who flew for a long time for a major carrier brought the nose of his plane down once over the Gulf of Mexico. And it,
where was he going?
He was going to Charlotte, North Carolina. And to me, Phil, you have to understand these pilots drinking in that context.
Art Griego is with us. I get on Art Griego, who's a former commercial pilot, and our number, by the way, is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I get on a commercial carrier, and I want to fly someplace. I have a little more faith in my pilot than that. I think that he has the tools.
No, of course he does, and of course we have radar, and of course we have all the things that we need. But the reason why a pilot may drink before he flies isn't that he is being sloppy with himself. It isn't that he doesn't have self-discipline. It's that the undertaking that he is about to engage in is so frightening that I will tell you, Phil, I used to vomit before every flight. When the flight ended, I would get off. I'd walk out the gate, walk down the ramp, out the gate, make a right-hand turn, go into the men's room at LAX, vomit again, and then know that my urine would be cloudy for two days.
And so you're saying this is regular?
I'm not saying it's regular. I'm saying for me. Some pilots it doesn't affect.
Why would your urine be cloudy for 2 days?
Just the sheer fear. The fear and the sweat that is created. I don't know. I had a doctor try to explain it to me once, but I'd have the runs. My urine would be cloudy. It'd be horrible.
Did you enjoy flying?
I loved it. It was my life's work.
If you enjoyed flying so much, and yet when you flew, you'd vomit, and your urine was cloudy, whatever that meant.
There would be some bleeding, nasal bleeding.
From flying?
Yes.
And this was from the fear?
From the stark, raving fear of recognizing that you're taking hundreds of thousands of pounds of aircraft up into the air. You ask yourself, how am I doing this, number one? What's causing this thing? What's keeping us up in the air? You're holding onto the yoke. You look at your co-pilot. You look at your navigator. You can feel the sweat coming down your face. You can feel it soaking the upper edges of your collar. You feel it in your armpits. You can't control your gas. You're in the cockpit of an enormous aircraft, and all you can think of is the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Our Father. The flight attendant comes in, asks you if there's something you want to eat. You can't keep any food down. That which you eat, you lose as soon as you land. And
So all of this is why, in your mind, you understand why that Northwest pilot took a drink.
I totally understand. And I do not condone it.
Did you take a drink when you flew?
I took a drink. I didn't take the drink within the 12-hour limit, as far as I know. There might have been times when the pressure got to me so much, when the actual realization that I was flying. And when you think about men flying, you can only think, my God, it's not possible, and you want to nose it in. My thought once on a flight, a routine flight from L.A. to San Diego, we were flying, and I got to thinking about it. I thought, oh, my God, it's not possible. And I would have tried to land it then had we not been so close to San Diego. We were on approach. Pilots put on a good face, but they don't let you know they're scared.
Wait a second. So when I'm flying, I have a pilot up there who is petrified.
No, I don't know. Everybody's different. But if you'd been flying with me...
Let's say I was flying with you.
If you'd been flying with me, pretty much every time I went up, I was... There's an old saying, Phil, scared enough to, and pardon my language, to crap a green brick. And I'm sure you've heard it.
Yes, I've heard that.
That's how frightened I was. And pilots know that.
I got to tell you something. If I knew that I was flying with a guy who my pilot was scared enough to crap a green brick, as you put it, I don't think I'd want to be flying with him.
Well, that's your decision. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you.
And you loved flying?
Loved it. Still do.
Do you still fly?
I fly privately. Yes, I do.
Do you still get sick?
Yes, I do.
So you vomit?
Every time I fly, I vomit.
Oh, my God. I mean...
It's nuts, but I'm just letting you know. This is why don't judge these pilots too harshly.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego's with us. Northwest Airlines has fired a pilot for drinking. They found a blood alcohol content on this pilot of 0.056 and 0.043. That exceeds the 0.04 legal limit for pilots. And Art flew commercially, said... it's understandable that a pilot will drink before he flies because the experience of flying is so frightening, he used the term, however crude, and forgive me, you crap a green brick every time you go up. He said that he vomited before and after flights. His urine was cloudy for days. There was some nasal bleeding, headaches, excruciating migraine headaches that kept him in bed for days. I don't know why a guy would want to fly. But that, he says, is why pilots may drink, because it's a scary, scary thing. You know, it's one thing to be afraid of flying. It's another thing to be sitting there and thinking that your pilot is afraid of flying. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
You stay awake at night.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, joins us to talk about the Northwest pilot that was fired for having alcohol, a blood alcohol level of 0.056 and 0.043 in his blood. Legal limit for pilots, 0.040. And the point that you're making, Art, is that pilots will sometimes drink before a flight because the fear is sometimes overwhelming.
The fear of the flying is sometimes overwhelming. You'd go to bed for days with headaches. You'd wake up from a nightmare of a plane with flames coming off the engine, out of control and ditching, or otherwise, skimming the top of a mountain. You wake up in a cold sweat out of a screaming nightmare like that, where bodies are hurtling through space. Flaming debris is flying into the cockpit. You wake up screaming some nights.
and yet you love flying.
I wouldn't do any other thing.
Man, that is...
And so that's why I say you try and understand a pilot who might want to have a pop. Big deal. You know, the only reason some people are not afraid to fly is because they think that pilots have control of the plane. And if people knew how scared some of us are of flight, nobody would fly. I mean, this is information. I don't think the FAA would want you to know that.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like a good career choice for a man to fly for a living who's afraid of it. And you're saying you're having nightmares of flaming debris flying into the cockpit?
Of the plane just coming apart in the air.
And this is what the nightmare that you have?
Every night. It's the same nightmare. It repeats over and over again, like some Twilight Zone episode. I can't describe it.
And yet you love to fly.
I love to fly.
You vomit, you bleed, you cloudy urine. Have you had a physical?
I've checked out.
You're healthy?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Ty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Ty?
Yeah, it's me. I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. I was talking before. I would just like to say that when it comes to statements like you don't know where you're at or anything like that, that's absolutely preposterous.
Now let me ask the caller. Ty, are you in a truck or something, or did you just what is that?
Yeah, I got the window. I'm sitting alongside the highway.
Yes, sir. You want to keep that window closer just a second. I want to ask Art, you said that you don't know where you are.
No, you know where you are, but you're afraid that you bring that, you nose that plane down out of the cloud cover, and suddenly you're praying you see an airport. That's all I'm saying. You're praying there's something there that resembles a runway.
What? I can't agree with that. First off,
are you a pilot, sir?
I was an airline pilot, yes. I was the head of a union. I was the MEC chairman. I was the grievance chairman. I represented over 200 pilots.
Did you ever have nightmares of the plane just coming apart in flight?
No, I never had any of that. And I say the truth. I have crashed in two airplanes. I have had, when I was being trained as a pilot, the instructor mishandled the airplane.
Yeah.
And we crashed the airplane, and the FAA ruled it a non-survivable. We both walked away from it. Even with that history...
Well, did you ever see the movie Castaway?
No, I did not.
I recommend that you see that because there's a plane crash scene that is exactly what I dream about. That
crash scene in Castaway is frightening.
That's the nightmare I have every night.
Oh my God! It's of ditching in the ocean and the turbines almost.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a crash or even an incident?
No, I haven't. Haven't you been tempted to have a pop before you get on behind the yoke?
No, I've never had that temptation myself. And like I say, I have represented pilots who were caught testing. They had random tests, and they were tested.
It just worries me. How does it fly? How does it stay up? I don't know.
Plane stay up?
Yeah.
Well, simply, it's if you go to Bernoulli's theory, it'll explain the whole thing. Bernoulli's theory explains how there's low pressures created above a wing,
right?
And that's how this plane flies.
Do you
and
think it, about it, that when you fly? In other words, you think, okay, it's Bernardi's theory. It's Bernardi's theory. The pressure.
Not any more than do I think in the car. Who made my steering wheel or which way I turned my wheel? It's just another form of transportation.
Well, yeah, but when a car is on the ground, it scares me. It scares me to think I'm flying and I don't know how the plane is staying up.
When we used to fly out of Chicago on the commuters, we would be crossing Lake Michigan at 4,000 feet in a snowstorm, and I'd be sitting in the one seat doing the paperwork while the other pilot was flying at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and I knew if that plane did not make it, there was no survivability whatsoever, and those thoughts never crossed my mind.
Oh, boy, I don't know how you...
I
fly, and I love to fly, but I got the runs for 2 days after I land.
Well, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's a natural thing for you.
All right. Listen, Ty, thanks for your call. I think the guy said it. Maybe you shouldn't be flying.
I love flying. It's been my dream.
Well, I don't know how that works. Here is Phil on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, sir.
I'm absolutely astounded at some of the things he's saying because I'm currently... flying for a major air carrier.
You're never afraid?
Never. Never have been. I've been flying airplanes.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I've been flying commercially for 18 years.
Yes, sir.
I've been flying all kinds of airplanes, from gliders to helicopters to bi-wing open cockpit airplanes.
So you're a pilot, Phil, right?
Yeah.
And Art, you are.
That's correct.
Okay, now the two of you guys, pilot to pilot, you're saying that you've never had these experiences, Phil, and you have them all the time, Art.
All the time. I want to ask Phil, have you ever had cloudy urine or?
No. I've never gone into the bathroom and thrown up, and I absolutely, under no circumstance, would ever understand or condone any pilot taking a shot before he flew. I mean, first of all, the federal regulations don't say 12 hours before a flight; it's 8 hours.
Well, I tried to do 12 hours, and
did you ever take a drink before flight?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, is this going to go past us?
Well, what do you mean?
Are you going to tell anybody?
It's on the radio.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say whether I understand a pilot who does, because I wake up screaming.
Well, I got to tell you,
screaming?
I've got 14,000 hours of flying time.
And you've never woke up screaming?
And never woke up screaming, and I do not understand any pilot drinking, and I don't know of any pilot that would condone or would take a drink. Now, I understand this Northwest guy got fired, and I think I understand the situation that he got caught in.
What do you think it was? I mean, maybe he drank a little bit
under
the limit.
More than likely, he flew a trip the day before.
You're a lucky man, I'll tell you that.
Well, he flew the trip the day before. He went to the bar that night. He had a few drinks. He had absolutely no idea that he'd be over the limit when he flew. And he went and flew his trip the next day as scheduled.
Well, my rule of thumb is 12 hours from the bottle to the throttle. 12 hours from the bottle to the throttle.
Well, mine.
But I blew it because I'm so afraid. I'm looking at that Johnny Walker Red, and I go, man, what I could use for a drink right now.
And so you drink?
No, but I understand a guy that does.
Well,
all right. Well, I
do not want the general
public. And you don't vomit before you fly.
Pardon?
Do you vomit after you fly?
I don't vomit before or after.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever vomit?
If I threw up.
Do you vomit at all?
Well, what I was about to say is if I ever threw up any time before or after flight, I'd put myself on sick leave because there's something really, really wrong. I'm sick.
Well,
Has nothing to do with flying.
That's just my stomach. It's my nerves.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Art Griego is a retired commercial pilot. We're talking about a Northwest pilot who was fired because he had blood alcohol level that was over the legal limit. Northwest Airlines fired him. Art, you say that you understand a pilot drinking because the stark raving fear, as you put it, of flying an aircraft, of wondering how it's staying in the air, of praying to God, as you put it, that when you come down through the clouds, there's going to be a runway there. The stark raving fear, and you mentioned waking up screaming.
That's correct. I don't think there's.
To me, that sounds like you're in the wrong business.
No, look. Once you get past all of that, it is so much fun. And
once you get past what? I mean, you mentioned your wife waking you up one night as you screamed "Mayday, Mayday" in your sleep. Alpha Gamma Mayday.
That's correct. Look. Once you get past the fear of not knowing whether you're going to land in Acapulco or on the other side of the River Styx, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Other than that, you're waking up screaming Mayday.
It happens. Ask any wife of a pilot.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Marie on the Phil Henry Show. Marie?
I'm here, and
yes,
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Go ahead, ma'am.
My husband was a pilot for many, many years.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about then, huh?
He never experienced that.
Did he ever wake up screaming?
Are you kidding? He loved flying, and all of his friends, and he taught flying through the war. Through World War II, he taught cadets.
He
never had a problem, and neither did any of his friends. This whole thing sounds stupid.
Well, no, but I'm asking, ma'am, you said
you
that your
should
husband
not
is
be
dead.
In flying, and the doctor that ever okayed you for flying should be out of business.
Now, why does the... when you go through a
I passed my physical, Phil.
So the stuff that's going on with you is psychological.
Well, yeah,
if it's psychological...
I don't deny that it's psychological.
Hey, if it's psychological, you don't belong there anyway.
Well, ma'am, can I ask you, your husband passed on, is that correct?
Yes, he has.
He didn't die choking on his own blood, did he?
What does that mean?
Well, from a bad dream.
Are you kidding? He had a heart attack.
Okay, there you go. He had a heart attack. Was he flying?
Had nothing to do. He was an operator of a fixed base operation that had jets and everything else.
Right. And was he flying when he had the heart attack?
No, he wasn't.
Where was he?
He was in the house sitting on the couch, and I was sitting in a chair, and we were talking.
Was he watching a TV show about flying?
No, he wasn't. He was reading a paper.
Okay, was there a story about airplanes in it?
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm just saying...
Come on, he was sitting on the couch.
You're a lot of baloney, and you know
it. How do you
know
that flying did lead to his early death?
Oh, my God, I knew pilots all over the place, and I never heard of... My husband taught cadets. At Ryan Field in Tucson, Arizona, through World War II.
Right.
And we never had problems like that.
No, but did he ever, was he reviewing his flight log when he died?
What?
Because when he died, when your husband died, was he...
Oh, look, we've gone over this poor woman's husband's death long enough, okay?
Did he ever take a couple of pops before
flying? It had nothing to do with flying.
Let me ask you something. Your name's Marie?
Yes.
Do you drink?
What has that got to do with it?
I'm just asking a simple question.
No.
Do you take a drink every now and again?
No.
Okay. You've been on airplanes, though.
Once in a while. My daughter lives in Texas,
okay.
And I go there.
And when you are on an airplane, I'm sure you see other people drinking.
Yeah, what has that got
there
to
you
do
go.
With it?
I rest my case.
And I never,
what do you mean you rest
I never
your case?
Saw
That's
pilots vomit in the aircraft either.
No, I didn't vomit
or
in the aircraft.
And my daughter was a flight attendant for many years with Eastern.
Did she vomit?
Of course not.
Well, I know that a lot of flight attendants vomit.
You're a lot of crap.
Ma'am, I will tell you that
in my... You are a lot of baloney.
I'm a lot of baloney. Then how
yes,
come
you
my
are.
How come my urine's cloudy?
Listen, if
why
you,
is my urine cloudy?
If you told your right name, your doctor should never have given you a physical.
What did the doctor say to you when you had your physical?
He asked me... first of all, he did a blood work. He knew there was nothing wrong with me. I went through a battery of tests that took 4 days... at Alamogordo, New Mexico, at the NASA lab there.
4 days.
What are you laughing at?
Take 4 days.
What are you
laughing
at? I went through a complete battery of physicals.
Yeah, well, you should have, but
tubes.
It's for other things.
Okay, lady. Great. You know, you weren't the pilot. Your husband was.
You are pulling down a...
You're pulling down... How much money you pull down a year?
I'm not a person that is working right now.
Well, I think you ought to contribute a little to society, don't you?
You don't.
All right. Thanks for your call. Look, Art, what we're talking here is a pilot who is flying, who has the stark raving fear that you're talking about being cleared for a physical.
Then you've got to ask the doctor that cleared me. I don't know.
Did you tell him you had the fear?
I told him that I woke up spitting blood. And
did he give you a physical for that?
Yes, he did.
When? What did it say?
Everything was beautiful. My blood work was normal. He said I'm going to live another 50 years.
Well, then I don't understand that, man. I don't know how anybody could clear you for flying if you're spitting blood, if you wake up screaming, you're screaming alpha, gamma, mayday, mayday. You're having dreams of fiery debris raining down on you in the cockpit. You don't know whether you're going to find a runway when you bring the plane down through the clouds. You don't know whether you're going to land in Acapulco or the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. You don't know how a plane is flying. You have to sit there and... You see what I'm saying?
I know, but beyond all that, I love it. It's a it's a relaxing.
It's not relaxing.
What I mean by that is it's enjoyable if I can get past some of these things.
There's nothing to get past, man. What you need to get past is this idea that you like flying. Stan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey,
yes,
Phil.
Sir.
I have a couple of comments for Art and for the pilot who was fired. I'm a 42-year-old, almost, pilot living in Dallas, Texas. I'm also an airworthiness inspector for an aerospace firm and an A&P mechanic. The only pilot I know who consistently got sick when they flew, and I know of only one, he was an F-4 Phantom pilot who was a naval aviator flying off aircraft carriers in the Tonkin Bay in Vietnam, and the only time he got sick was when he saw SAMs coming up at him. This guy,
well,
Art.
That's fine. You gave us your sketchy Vietnam credentials. I'm talking about the commercial aircraft that I fly.
I understand.
Once you get into one of those, sir,
commercial aircraft,
you give me a call when you start flying commercial aircraft.
All right, well, it's possible that he does, okay?
Well, I doubt it. Flying is very relaxing. Once you have a half a bottle of tequila, then you can...
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Good luck flying. Phil Henry Show. Show here. You know, that's not the first time that's happened on Northwest Airlines. Like in the 80s, they had a Northwest pilot, I believe. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not trying to impugn Northwest. I've flown them many times. Great airline. But this isn't the first time it's happened to these guys. And maybe I used to think it, you know, childishly and innocently. I used to think it's when they fly out of Minneapolis and Detroit, those guys need a pop before they go up on those things. They're de-icing wings. It's cold. But no, I don't think they have to take a drink so they can stay warm while they're flying the plane. Something very disquieting about sitting on the tarmac while they de-ice the wings on an airplane. It's just something that says to me, you know, I think of that Twilight Zone where they broke the sound barrier and they were looking down on a prehistoric Jurassic period, and then they went back to the New York World's Fair and they never could find their way back to 1960 or wherever the hell they were from. That's what I worry about. Yeah, I'm a nutcase, man. Yeah, but you know what? You got to fly out of Miami to the Midwest in the summer. This is a whole new experience in we've got an equipment breakdown. First of all, Florida in the summer is hell on wheels. It rains. And back east is pretty much the same way. So there's equipment breakdown, there's delays, there's, you know, I was going back and forth because I had a girlfriend in the Twin Cities, going back and forth between Miami and Minneapolis for 3 years and never, ever landed on time, ever. I get off the air at 6, I had to make a 6:50 flight to get the hell out of Miami, get to Chicago, hope I meet my connector, and pray to God I get to Minneapolis by 11 o'clock at night. Never. I'd be stranded in O'Hare for an hour, 2 hours, because it's raining, and it's too hot, and it's too weird. Where do you get the idea that summer is really groovy in America, man? The only place that's cool is California. The only place where summer is totally awesome in the entire 50 states is California. Not even in Hawaii. It rains in Hawaii in the summertime. It comes down in buckets back east. It comes down in buckets in the Midwest. It's too freaking hot in Arizona. And Nevada, it's 8 billion degrees in those states because it's just a desert. And, you know, there's so many golf courses out there now. It's sticky with humidity. In Texas, it rains. In Louisiana, it rains. The only state in the union where it is just bitching all 3 months of the summer is California, baby. Now, I'm sorry to have to break the news. I've lived just about everywhere in the summer. It sucks. Now, I ain't telling you that Minnesota in the summertime, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, they got 10,000 lakes. And once the rain, but I'm telling you, like at 6 o'clock at night, man, they get some rainstorms that blast through that town. Like you can see on the radar, it's just blasted through. I can see. I can watch the approaching, the lightning. I mean, the electrical storms are awe-inspiring. And then I flew out of Miami in a tropical storm one night in the month of August. 40-mile-an-hour winds. Got to get to Dallas. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I was going to a golf tournament someplace. I didn't care. I didn't care if I died so long as that plane got off the ground because I had to meet a connector in Dallas. And I'm flying out Tropical Storm Gordon in the middle of August, 50-mile-an-hour winds, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know what, I don't care if the plane crashes. I just want to feel this thing get off. I want to get the hell out of this airport, even if it means going to heaven. Just let me out of here. Because I'd lost my wallet. I was in a world of hurt, man. So I feel it, and the pilot says, well, you know, there's a tropical storm out there. I feel a few bumps on our way out tonight. That's fine. Get out. Go, go, go. We felt a few bumps, but as soon as we got above those clouds, man, we were living large. It was beautiful. But, if there's one thing, and I mean, I've been all around this beautiful country, man, and I'll tell you, there's no place like America. Yes. The land of the free, the home of the brave. But I gotta give it to you slow, and I gotta give it to you easy, and with a little bit of lubricant. California, there's no place like California in the summer. Because it's nice, it's hot, but you can cool off at the beach. It don't rain. I don't tell me about the little rain showers we get in August every 5 years either, okay? Oh, no, it rained last August. Why, my little rain gauge had like 0.75 of 1 nanosecond of 1 pubic hair of an inch. Well, that don't count. It's sweet, it's sunny, it's nice, it's beachy, it's bitchin', and, you know, and then it comes down in buckets in January. Like right now, it's raining like a... Well, today it was raining, but like last week, remember that? Last night, man, I'm listening to that thing howling through the canyon. There's all kinds of crap flying around my backyard. You know, I saw my car fly by. That's just the way it is. It just comes down. But summertime's sweet. But you don't want to fly no place else. We're going to go to Mexico here in a few weeks. And we're flying down to the Caribbean. Now, right now, it ought to be really nice in the Caribbean. It should be really nice in Cancun. Well, guess what? I'll bet you it's pouring when we get there. I'll bet you it's raining. And don't give me that Miami sweet in the winter either, man. Last time I was in Miami, it was January, and it was a monsoon. I was in the middle of Vietnam. Vietnam in a nice hotel. Nope. Only place for me is California. Born here, gonna die here, and I'm broke here. California. California. Oh, never mind. All right, don't forget the number to call for our Phil Henry Show CD, 1-877-616-PHIL. That's 877-616-7445, $20 for the CD, $3.50 shipping and handling. We also have available the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 vinyl picture disc, LP. Payment can be made by way of Visa, MasterCard, or a personal check. And to date, we have made $92,415, and we are closing in on that $100,000 mark, and all of the money is raised for the great people, for the great kids, for the great community of My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. So we're getting nearer to that $100,000 mark, and we thank you for your order. But again, the number is 877-616-7445 to order your Phil Henry CD or picture disc.
I just want to understand this woman. I'm sorry. You are absolutely on the wrong railroad track.
Uh-huh.
And before you know it, a train's going to hit you.
What?
You heard what I said.
No, I heard it, but I didn't understand it. Like a lot of things.
Well,
that
of course not. You don't understand anything. I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life.
I went into a restaurant the other day, and they were babbling at me in much the same way.
Well, I can't blame them.
Well, but they don't make any sense any more than
you
do.
Well, you don't either.
Well, what are you trying to say?
You're nuts.
Why?
Absolutely nuts.
Why? Because I give old people a reason
to
live.
No, you're not giving old people anything.
A reason
you're just
to live.
A very selfish, self-centered person.
Why? Because
I'm
taking them out and I'm having a really good time and I'm really cute.
Oh, come on, I'll bet.
I'm really cute.
I just hope and pray you get in the middle of this.
You know something? I'm really cute and you're really jealous.
Oh, come on.
It's true.
And my hair's not falling out.
It's true.
And I weigh a lot less than you do, I'm sure.
I'm offering people a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and all. Yes, they do sign a waiver. If you came on our trip, I would force you to sign a waiver.
What's a waiver going to do if the woman's laying there dead?
Murdered. What?
What's the waiver going to do if the woman's laying there dead?
It is
You're
a
nuts.
Very low probability
you're
she'll get killed.
Absolutely.
She
whoever
get
hires you should go back and look at you again and
no,
say, for God's sake, why did I ever hire you?
You are wrong because the probability of getting murdered
I'm
is
not
low.
Wrong.
Raped or robbed, yes. Murdered, no.
Oh, come on. I hope you are raped.
Did
so
you read
find out what it's all about.
No, but I hope you get raped.
Oh, I don't have to worry about that.
You're too ugly? Yeah.
Come on, will you? You're way out of line here. Out of line.
Whoever you are, I think whoever hired you had their rocks, I don't know, their heads turned upside down or something.
Had their rocks what? You just proved my point. She won't get raped because she's old.
Oh, sorry. Come on. And my hair's not falling out either.
Last time you checked.
You're kidding me. I don't think you even have any hair. You probably wear a wig.
I wear a fall.
Well, that's just as
but
bad.
But you know something? I'll tell you this much. I have got a pair like you wouldn't believe.
A pair of what?
Have you ever heard of breasts?
Oh, isn't that
oh,
nice?
Oh, wait a second. Was the mastectomy a little bit...
Okay, now that's really out of line.
Yes, she is out of line.
Well, I don't understand why WCAU
has to go through this.
I'm sick. I'm absolutely sick.
I am sick, too. Why
don't
you
begged me to
off?
Be on your show, Phil. You called last night and begged me to be on your show.
I did not. That was Mike.
Whoever it was, tell him to go to bed and get up again, because
hey,
he got the wrong person on the telephone.
Hey, honey, really, when did your breasts go south? How old were you when they started just hitting your knees?
Okay, I'm hanging up on her.
I think you should.
I have got her.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
I got chlamydia.
I got a great looking ass. Hurt me slow.